Hello and welcome. Oh my goodness, the music just cut. That's no good. I'm Tom Sinclair. This is Streaming Idiots. Sorry about that little faux pas on the introduction. Been playing with lots of things here to try to get things, as many things automated as possible, because this is like a one-guy show. It's me and, yeah, that's it. So glad you're with us today. Streaming Idiots is the show for folks that are interested in live streaming, whether it's using their phone or using a laptop or using their PC or having a streaming PC that just streaming. That's what this show is all about. And so we'll talk about software and hardware and cameras and all sorts of the piece parts of the whole streaming mystery. We hope that it's a good thing. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about pay-per-view. And pay-per-view is something that you don't normally, I don't know, maybe you talk about it normally, maybe you don't. There are a few services out there that offer it. And so we've got Gerald Griffith. He's in the green room right now. He's going to be with us in just a second and talk about a unique strategy for doing pay-per-view that allows you to keep all the cash that you generate. So, hey, let's do it. But before we do, we're going to get to Gerald in just a second. I want to welcome all the folks that are with us in chat. If you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook directly on Periscope or Twitter, come on over to EasternShoreBroadcasting.com because you'll have the chat room there. We're not monitoring the chat in Facebook or Twitter or YouTube. I think YouTube might even be disabled, or Periscope. Come on over, join the community. We've got several dozen folks over here that are just chatting away, wishing each other Merry Christmas. Earlier, they were chatting about the different Christmas customs in different countries and how in one country they open all their presents on Christmas Eve. Another country, they have their what we would call Christmas dinner here in the U.S., they have it on Christmas Eve. So it's interesting that the way different cultures handled their holidays. It was kind of fun to read that. I want to give a shout out and a welcome to all the folks that subscribed to us on YouTube since our last show. We got MicroStream Media, Lucas, Ebenezer, Ferdinand, Kershid, Jacob, Alexandra, Rahul, Hugo, Stefan, Jerry, Lover of Life, Erastus, Itshak, Duval, Leroy, Michael, Seyshed, Benz, the PANJ, that must be Pennsylvania, New Jersey Radio, Life Media Pro, Samuel, Social Media TV, Sarie, Ngozi at Night, Alta Viso, Scott, Paulo, and PX Productions, and ProGag. So thank you so much for subscribing to our YouTube channel. You'll get a notice whenever we're live and whenever we've posted a video. We're live every Wednesday. And I guess that's all the kind of the news stuff here. If you're watching live, I'm going to put a link. Is it a link? No, it's not going to be a link. I'm going to put a code in the chat, and that'll stay active all week until next week's show, for X keys. If you want to get X keys from us, we will put a link there so that you can get free shipping. So if you've got some extra Christmas money on hand and you want to get some X keys, that'll be the time to do it. It looks like I have a little artifacts down here. I might need to adjust my lighting. Yeah, I see some of it's kind of gotten out of whack. Okay, so much for all of that. Pay-per-view. Back in 2014, I did a pay-per-view of a soccer match. There was a women's amateur national championship held very near here in Pensacola, Florida. And the folks from the soccer match asked me to come and live stream it for them. I said, how much are you going to pay me? They said, nothing, which is a lot of times the case. You know, it's only live streaming. It can't be that important. But they said that the folks at home, because there were teams traveling from all over the country to be here, but the folks from home wanted to be able to watch, and they said, yes, you can go ahead and do pay-per-view. So I had a $9, it was maybe $9.95 pay-per-view, and did okay on that. But I had to split my $9.95 with a provider that provided me access to all the pay-per-view functions, all the collecting money and you know, secret codes and all that kind of stuff. They handled all that, and they took a good chunk of my $9.95. Well, it's always kind of concerned me about that, and I thought, you know, one day I'm going to trip over a way to do it better and do it in a less expensive fashion. And I just happened to be chatting with our guest today, Gerald Griffith with VoiceOver City, and somehow the subject of pay-per-view came up, and he started telling me about this amazing strategy for pay-per-view that he's using. You know what? Instead of me getting into it, why don't I bring Gerald in? Gerald, come on in and welcome to the show. Hang on a second. Let me get your mic up because we turned you down there, probably mostly by accident. There we go. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yay! All right. Very good. Welcome, Gerald. So you have this tremendous strategy for using pay-per-view. But before we tell everybody what the strategy is, I mean, we got to make them hang in limbo just a little bit longer. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got into streaming, and that'll kind of fold into the whole pay-per-view deal.
Okay, I'm happy to do that. Well, first, thanks for having me on, Tom. It's great to be able to talk to you and get your help with getting my X keys and my PTZ optics camera the other week. So, that's got me rolling. It made me even more dangerous and given me one other occasion to explain to my wife that it's all for testing. anyway,
it's a legitimate business expense. Yeah,
it is, but it's always testing, you know, first. I started a voiceover conference here in Atlanta that we do once a year back in 2013. And I don't know how I originally got the idea of trying to live stream it, but I did. And I was thinking about this earlier today, and I was laughing a lot because I was thinking about how I was so clueless about the entire live streaming process and what was involved at that point that I had a C920 webcam that I was going to feed in. I was using LiveStream Studio at the time. And then I had one little Sony or Canon handheld camcorder. And my entire operation that first year trying to do that was a hot mess. It was painful. I'm glad we weren't really trying to charge anybody that year because it was not cool at all. It was very ugly. So each year since then, we've tried to improve that process and go back to the drawing board, both on the streaming side and on the part of how to monetize it and tie it into the overall event. One thing, of course, to overcome was the idea that if you stream something, that you're going to kind of take away from people's desire to be at the event. And what ends up happening there is the opposite is true. It actually attracts people more. And, but after
Can I quote you on that? I mean, that is so quotable right there because so many folks are really concerned. Oh, a live stream is going to reduce the number of paid attendees. That's not true.
There's actually a study done by the Professional Meeting Planners Association, which I'm a part of, that they went and studied that from their conferences when they started live streaming content out, and they weren't charging for it or anything, and they were afraid of that same thing, and they did a survey after the fact, and they were talking about the fact that a lot of attendees said, yeah, I watched some of the content from home, and it just made me want to be there. It looks like everybody was having such fun because when you think about it, they're looking at it from home at their desk in their pajamas in the same old place, but they're watching people have fun. They're watching people laughing and enjoying great food together and learning things in the room, and they want to be a part of that. And so it actually does help in that regard, but some people just simply can't make it. And I'll touch on that a little bit as well. But what I ended up doing, I had to learn on two tracks. One was the streaming. That was one element of it. And I've probably tested more streaming service providers than I would care to admit at this point. They each have their strengths and they each have their not strengths, put it that way, to be nice about it.
Yep. But
it's a challenge because as an IT person, IT background, there's a disconnect often between the marketing and the execution of that marketing.
Yep.
When you get to many of these products. But the first year when I tried to do the paid version of the live stream stuff, it was interesting because we ran into some problems at the event with their service, the service providing. And we just could not get connections and things like that. And probably the first point I would share with people is to understand that people are already a pain sometimes when things are free. But if you think they're a pain when things are free, you collect a nickel from them and the expectation just went up, way up because of that. And you'd be surprised. It doesn't matter how low the amount is. You can say, well, we're only charging a dollar. It does not matter. It's kind of like the people who will haggle you for 50 cents at a yard sale. You know, it's like, don't think that because it's really cheap that people are not going to be critical of you, because they will. The thing about having a service where the provider is acting as your paywall is you run a couple of risks, Tom. Two particular risks. One is that most of the providers that I've seen out there will hold your money. And I don't know about many of you small business owners like myself, but you don't want someone holding your funds for sometimes, you know, 2 weeks or a month.
A month, yeah.
Before they pay, and they have certain minimums that we touched on before when we talked, Tom. Right. And sometimes they'll have minimums that say, well, unless you made $100, they're not going to write you a check at all until you have at least $100. So they find excuses like that. But remember, you know, they've collected your money. You know, it's up to you to have some arrangement and hope that they follow through on that part. The other part of that, and equally important, is that they have the relationship with your clients. Your client's connection with that service is on that platform. And I've used Acast. I see Acast mentioned in the chat room and everything in there. But keep in mind, if you're doing, like in my case, our event is 4 days. So if we have a service problem, it could be a huge deal depending on how long that service, you know, issue lasts. But I'll just say DeCast, so someone mentioned it there. But let's assume, for instance, we use DeCast as our paywall. People come in, they register. If DeCast, for some reason, has a problem, what are your options? And this is... What are your options? What do you do at that point? People have paid for your service. They're not really aware of DeCast, no matter how much DeCast tries to help you. They pay for your service.
That's right.
For your stream. So the problem becomes, if DeCast doesn't get your service fixed, you may immediately think, well, you know what? I've still got an account with Streaming Monkey, or I've got an account with StreamSpot, or I've got an account with YouTube, or whatever it is your other streaming options might be. But you've got a problem. All of your money is with the cast. All of your access rights and controls for your customers are with the cast. How do you then move? Let's assume, like in my case, I have about 120 or 150 people that paid to watch my pay-per-view this past year. So I've got 100 plus people registered in the cast. I can fire up another stream, but how do I then control access for these 100 people to this content? How, you know,
You send them an email with a link. That's, you know, and hope for the best.
Yeah, you're going to send them an email with a link. Chances are you don't have a nice, neat list to send that email from. Because even if they were sending you confirmations, they came in one at a time.
Right.
And you can't access the DeCast site potentially at that moment to pull off a nice little CSV file to then email them. And even if you emailed them, what would you tell them? Here's a link to another service. So that was a dilemma that as an IT person, I wasn't really comfortable with. Because in IT, we always think in terms of redundancy and how do you work around things when problems come up? Not so much if, but more of the when. So anyway, so I had to think through how do you retake control of two things. The first thing being who's holding your money, and the second thing being who's holding your clients.
Right.
Because you are responsible for your clients. So what I came up with was an option that took control back from both of those things. And this option was very simple in that I was like, why didn't I think of this sooner? But I was just glad when I did. It dawned on me one day that what I was essentially trying to sell people was access to something, okay? I was trying to sell them access to a stream or multiple streams, which before I go further, one of the things you have too is you do have the option in some platforms of selling a single stream access to something, but it's another level when you say, I want to give you access to a group of streams or an entire package. Or if you do sports, perhaps you want to give them access to an entire season so that you're not, you know, get out of the business of trying to sell a game and sell a package, sell a season pass, because then you could charge a little more and then you can care a little less about whether they show up to each week. They can always come back and watch your recording later. So if you sell them a package, they only pay once, they only have to think about the money once, which is great, because if you're selling them per game, then you're making them think about the money every single week. People don't like to think about the money every single week, but they, you know, where you may be selling them a $5 game or $10 game, it may be better for you to sell them a $45 or $95 season. They pay it once and then they're done with it. You know, they just go on and enjoy the games throughout the season. Even if they miss something, you can post it later and they have access to it. So what I ended up doing was going back and implementing a membership platform to control my pay-per-view process. And let me tell you the benefits of doing it this way. One is the membership platforms that I ended up looking at, and there were a couple, and in principle, they'll all work. But I found one that allowed me to offer multiple payment gateways. So they could check out using PayPal or they could check out using Stripe. The benefit there for me was some people hate PayPal. They've had bad experience with PayPal. They do not want to see PayPal with anything near their transaction. So they use Stripe. No problem, they love it. Stripe puts money in your account the next day. But I don't want to get rid of PayPal. And here's why. In my case, I offer packages that are three tiers. There's $45 for a most basic thing. There's a $99 one, and there's a $145 if they want to be able to download the videos later. If they're getting the $99 package or the $145 package, they can check out with PayPal and select the bill me later option. PayPal pays you the funds up front. They're able to take 6 months, no payment, no interest, or they can just pay it off, because for some people, it's not even about that they can't afford it or something. They just like the simplicity of going ahead and, you know, putting it on their Bill Me Later account or something like that. And for some people, small business owners in particular, they get paid in PayPal if they have online accounts and different things. So it's not like real money for them. And they love to just say, oh, well, I'll just spend the money I have in PayPal. It doesn't feel the same as taking cash out of the bank account. So anyway, that was one thing. It gave me multiple payment options. The other thing it gave me was ownership of my client information and data. When they sign up, I can control all of the messaging that they get, the emails, the confirmation, and everything else that they get related to that pay-per-view session. I can send them reminders. I could set up things like an expiration. Like right now, the one I'm putting together for my conference in March, I could have someone sign up today and I can set up their membership type so that it expires March 30th. So they don't have to feel like, oh my God, I only signed up for 30 days. I'm going to have to renew. It doesn't matter. They can sign up now. And the benefit is I can make certain things available to them as a part of their package where they can go watch recordings from 2016. And then they'll get access to all the recordings for 2017 when those come online. So they feel like, wow, I got more value for the one price. Now, from the technical standpoint, here's where it really gets to be a lot of fun. You can actually stop worrying about having a problem with one service provider. Why? Because you're not selling a direct relationship with the service provider. You're selling to that client access to a particular page on your site. And then the benefit there is, what I end up doing is I use a theme called Divi by Elegant Themes. And you can do the same thing with, I forget the name of the tool right now, but the concept will be the same. You can create modules that you can reuse. So in Divi, what I do is I create and save a module, let's say for the cast. And then I save another block for, let's say, Ustream, if that were the one. I make one of them active and I deactivate one of them as my backup. So if the cast had a problem within that page, all I need to do is deactivate the cast, activate the Ustream, and even within vMix, I could be streaming to both of these at the same time if I like, so that to the user, they don't know where the feed comes from and neither should they care. All they know is that on your page, there is a video playing. If you have people asking you where your video comes from, then you got bigger problems. But to the user, they shouldn't care where that video feed is coming from at all. They shouldn't care if it's streaming video provider, Ustream, Livestream, YouTube, none of that. They should not care at all. All they know is that they paid you a membership on your site. They have access to that page on your site and they're happy. But what you gained in that process was you collected all the user data, you own the user relationship, you got paid either immediately in PayPal or the next day in Stripe or, you know, maybe 2 days or something like that. And it's a win-win for everyone. And then you can go through and do multiple pages like this. I originally tried to create like a separate stream for each of the things that I do. I ended up just creating one. And then I use a site like chatroll.com to embed a chat box right next to the live stream window so that we can have a chat right there. Same kind of functionality they would have if they were on a platform like livestream.com or something like that. So they get all that functionality in there and they're happy and they're able to just log in and it works well. And then depending on the membership tool you have, you can give them access to, you can make some of your streams like premium. You can make some of them standard or however you want to divide that up. It's just a matter of wrapping your head around the idea that it's a membership tool, but you're using it for, you know, a different type of implementation. So once you get past the term membership and thinking about it as a membership and think about it more like a subscription in that term, then it all kind of starts to come together and make a lot more sense to you. But everybody ends up winning in the end. You'll be happier You know that you have more flexibility. I even maintain two websites, for that matter. I have like voatlanta.tv, and then I have voatlanta.me, and I even have voatlanta.co. So I keep them separate. My .me site is my main site for my conference. I do not put a membership site on it. I don't tie it up with anything extra, because remember, this is the site where you're collecting your money. This is the site where all of the business transactions are going to happen. So I put my .tv site to handle the media stuff. And by doing that, I'm able to streamline the theme and plugins that go on there to only what's necessary, and the membership plugin and whatever add-ons are needed to run that. And then it just minimizes the chance that you run into any problems and glitches and things like that along the way. So that's kind of it at a high level, Tom.
This is the third time I've heard this. Because we talked about it one time, and then I said, we got to talk some more because we got to go deeper. And I'm still just amazed. This is so cool, so very cool. I mean, where did you come up with this? Were you just in the shower one day and said, bing, here it is?
Yeah, who has time for showers when you do this stuff? No, I don't remember. I don't know if there was like one particular point, but it was just... it was just a lot of trial and error and frustration with either service providers. Oh, that was the other thing I didn't even touch on. And you mentioned this, the fees.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I could not get my head around the idea that, here was the frustration for me. If I had 100 viewers on a site and I was letting them watch that for free, I would only pay my normal streaming service charge.
Right.
So whatever that would be, let's say it's $50. I would only pay that $50. But because I want to charge for my content, they're telling me that all of a sudden, if I charge those 50 people, that they want 50% of my revenue. But they've not done 50% more work. They've not provided me 50% more service. They've done nothing. They didn't get the customer. They didn't.
But they collected the money.
Yeah. Okay. You know, look, here's the thing, Tom. You know, and Lynn, I talked about this. I'm not opposed to people making money. I'm not, you know. I think that there is a point where there's a reasonable fee. I think somebody just mentioned 10% for the cast. 10%, that's fine. You know, credit cards are usually like 5% or something like that. So they're probably adding 5% to cover, you know, for their keep on that, which is fine. But 50%?
Well, 10%, 10% plus you're paying for the streaming. You're paying for the bandwidth.
Yeah.
So it's 10% plus.
You know, the 10% part, if it came down to using a service like that, the 10% isn't huge, isn't bad. But I think when I last looked at it, it was Ustream.
Yep.
50% of your revenue. I just could not get my head around that.
Well, here's the thing. I'm a big control guy. I mean, you guys heard me in pre-show directing everybody back to my website for the show. I mean, even though we're going to YouTube and Facebook and Periscope and Twitter, I want people to come back here because there's so much more here on my website that I want people to see that they can't see at Facebook. In the same way, when I'm doing pay-per-view, I want my customers to be my customers. I want to have access to their emails. I want to be able to engage them on a regular basis. And if I have subbed that out to a third party to handle all that for me, I lose a lot of control. Now, I mean, I'm a control freak, but I think you need to have control of your business. When you give control of your business to somebody else and they're never as motivated to take care of your business as you are, right. You're giving up important control that you shouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's nothing worse than the feeling of, someone mentioned in the chat about one of my websites being down. Yes, it's down. You're right. And this is a classic example of, dealing with these providers is the sites that are down right now are at the host level. So I have several sites that are down, but the sites that are up, like the voatlanta.me sites, are the sites that I've migrated to WP Engine. Those are up running and running fine, but the sites that I had at my old host that I'm migrating from is down, and all I could do was open a ticket. Even though they had a person that's live and everything, it was like, well, just open a support ticket. Okay, so now what do I get to do? Wait.
Yeah.
Now imagine my pay-per-view being on that system still. I don't have a real tech 24/7. I just have a ticket opening person 24/7.
But well, what more do you need?
Yeah. I mean, I could, you know, I could think redundancy, like, you know, from an IT background, and it, you know, I've dealt with redundancy to the point that companies literally had AT&T come in one side of their building for their network connectivity, and Verizon or somebody else bring a totally separate line into the opposite side of the, they wouldn't even bring the lines in from the same side of the building. And they would be totally separate networks.
Sure.
We have two networks, completely separate networks, and we can load balance between either of them at any given time,
right,
to handle 100% of the customer load. So it can be really involved, but I think at most of our levels, you know, you have just a reasonable level of flexibility. And, you know, like someone mentioned in the chat, I think I saw it pass by there, they were saying, like, well, Divi, you know, you can use different things in WordPress. I just happen to use Divi. I started moving over to Visual Composer. I just didn't have time to implement it with where I am in my conference planning right now. But I'd like to eventually probably blow it all away and start back and use something like Visual Composer. But you know, the concept is still the same. If you're using WordPress, it won't matter whether you're using the Divi Builder or one of the other programs, like Visual Composer, to put it together, or just basic WordPress concept.
Tell us again, I don't think you mentioned it before, what's the membership plugin that you use?
I use MemberMouse at the moment. No, not MemberMouse, I'm sorry.
That's the one you were using.
I was using them, and right now I'm using MemberPress.
MemberPress, yeah.
Yeah. But I've been testing back and forth between the two, actually, of late. They have similar things. It just depends on how much detail and function you want to have in there. So I use MemberPress primarily at the moment. That's my current plan, is to use MemberPress when I relaunch the pay-per-view service signups starting at the beginning of February for the conference stuff. But having the pay-per-view function has been a really nice add-on. And, you know, we're not, like I said, we're not in the $5 or $10 kind of range. So I can tell you that, you know, we're north of $10,000 in revenue just from that 4 days, which, you know, for a conference our size is not too bad to be able to offer that. So it works out pretty well. But knowing that you have that control and that access, and you can respond to things a lot more quickly than you can opening a support ticket somewhere and just hoping for the best, or worse still, getting somebody on the line and they're clueless and all they're telling you is, oh, we'll pass it on to our development team.
Somebody I saw put, Mike, thank you, put the MemberPress link in the site. Gerald does have an affiliate link. And Gerald, if you would take a second and put that in chat.
I don't even have it ready.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we'll put it in the notes in YouTube, on the YouTube page. So you guys can come back if you want to watch the show after the fact and pick up the affiliate link. That'll help Gerald out a little bit. You know, one of the other things.
Look, I appreciate him using it, but the truth is that, you know, they're all serve the same basic purpose. You know,
if there are 20 people that are using the same strategy that you're using, yeah, and we're tied together in the same community, now we've got the ability to say, hey, this works really well. You know, here's a different way of doing this. I was able to take this and make it do these three other things. And suddenly, you know, we've increased our strength you know, together by having this common experience.
Oh, I agree with you. I usually just say that part because, you know, occasionally you'll have the cynic out there who thinks it's all about you trying to sell a particular thing. And quite frankly, what I try to share with people are the fundamentals, the basics, so that whether you're using number miles or number press or whatever tool you use, it still applies. The concept is that you retake control of your client base, you retake control of your streaming and things like that, so that you can better control the relationship that you have with your clients on the back end, because that's when you're providing a service, that is the point of frustration. Not that something goes wrong, but it's that something goes wrong and you don't have the ability to respond to it, you know, other than just sending an email to someone and saying, hey, can you help me? And they said, oh, well, we'll open a ticket and we'll get back to you. Because my event happens on the weekend. And a lot of my stuff happens late in the evening.
And it's a one-shot deal. You know, if you miss that shot, that's gone.
So I just tell people, you know, weigh it out. And I know sometimes I'll see in different things about, you know, well, you can get this service as cheap, or this service is $5 or $10 or $12. And I don't do well in those conversations, Tom, only because if you're doing something just for fun and hobby, it's all good. But I think when you get to that place where you're saying, you know, I'll use myself as an example. If I did in 2016 in 4 days and generated, say, you know, $10,000 or so in that weekend, and then I get to 2017 and I'm using something because it's the cheap option, the cheap solution, and I screw up and I've got to refund all that money and everything and lose the goodwill of people.
Yep.
What was it worth? Was it worth, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm listening to people sometimes make huge business decisions all over saving $50. And I'm like, you're telling me you're going to jeopardize your entire operation because you're running to another service because it was $50 less than the other one? I'm like, mm-mm.
You guys got to sell Gerald something because he appreciates value. And Christmas is coming up.
Hey, I just bought the PTZ camera from you, right?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I should be good at least for a month or so, man.
And you got an X-Keys 80 and an X-Keys 24 from me.
I did.
I sent him the 24 by accident when I was supposed to send him the 80, my bad.
Yeah. What were you saying about the 24? You said just keep it as a test system. What?
No, I don't think I said that. I think I said send it back. You know, the one thing that I love about your idea is that it's a whole different slice of how to look at this whole pay-per-view kind of thing. And there's a lot of chat in the chat room right now of, you know, pay-per-view versus sponsors. And I think both of those have their time and their place. But for events that are a one-time, one-shot event where you've got an audience that cannot participate, but cannot be physically present, and they are willing to pay to watch it in their pajamas, then you got to take their money. You can't pan it off on a sponsor. I mean, and in your case, you know, Voice Over City is putting on this conference. Who are you going to get as a sponsor? A microphone company or a spit guard company? I think you really want to squeeze as much. And here's the other thing. Is that the folks that registered for your pay-per-view last year mm-hmm. now become part of your database for this coming year. Yeah. And you can get them signed up. You can encourage them to sign up for the show and come because they've seen it in the past. And you can also give them incentives to sign up or to share and, you know, kind of become an affiliate. And they can watch for free if they sign up 5 other people. I mean, now that you've got their contact information, there's so much as a marketer that you can do with it that you can't do if you don't have it.
And for instance, you can even, in MemberPress, they just added a feature called a corporate account. So you can actually sign up a company. So think of it as somewhere in between having a sponsor and having, you know, the individual purchase. If you could have a company say that, you know, they purchase some kind of package with you where they buy the rights to 25 seats or 50 seats or something, you just charge them once, you give them the codes or whatever it is, and then they can distribute them however they like to their people, and it's free to them.
Right.
Because it all falls up under that corporate account.
And within the membership, the WordPress membership plugin, you can make those kind of arrangements where you can give, you know, 10 unique keys, and once somebody's used that key, nobody else is using it.
Right, it attaches to it. And you can do things like control how many logins can be active on that account at one time, which helps protect you from things like, you know, people just sharing it out all over the place.
Right.
So there, again, because you have the flexibility, you could do a lot of things without ever having to involve someone else in the process. And I think I saw a question pass by here asking about the addition of MemberPress. I have their developer. I mean, they only have two editions. The one is the 97 and 199 or something like that, and then the other one's 199. The biggest difference being that one is unlimited number of sites. So if you have various sites, you could do it that way with the developer one. And I think there are a couple other minor things with their add-ons and stuff like that that they support. One of the things I do use is people who are attending the conference in person, I give them access to the live stream stuff. And so what I'll tend to do is in the registration system, I will export my user database of people who are registered to attend the conference. And then I will import that into the membership site and give them a special membership type so that they can access the pages and watch the content. And it just takes a lot of stress off of them from having to attend the panels in person first, rather than going to a breakout, because we have 20 something breakouts.
And you're adding value to your offering, and it's costing you like this much to do it, just the time and energy to put it together.
Yeah. And they love it because we have a lot going on at our conference, and you're constantly going, oh, do I go to this? Do I go to that? So to know that they can just go watch the panel later, it just makes it a lot easier for them. So it works. It's a value add, like you mentioned. But, you know, I'm looking at some of the chat here. I see someone, you know, had a comment about the cast. I would certainly not abandon anything that's working for you, man. you know, I'm a big believer that part of the biggest challenge most of us have is that we just don't spend enough time mastering something, and we don't account for the time it takes to get up to speed on the new thing. And so if the cast is working for you, man, it's like, it's great. And the setup for this, quite frankly, the membership setup, it's a lot easier than you may think, because once you install it, you can decide what pages go to what memberships and what don't. I keep mine pretty simple. There are only three things. You're at the really starter, you're at the beginner, at the basic rather, or you're at the premium account. Very, very few options. You know, I don't want to inundate people with choices, because that's just more things you have to explain later, kind of stuff. So you can set up the membership site. If you gave me a blank template right now, Tom, I could have already had it set up and working even during this call. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. And depending on which one you go to, I mean, there's plenty of YouTube videos with other people that use it and set it up. They're going to talk about it as a membership site. But just remember that for you, you're just thinking of it as a page where you embed your content.
Right.
That's the biggest shift in thinking, is just to remember that you're not selling it as a traditional membership site so much. You're selling it as access to a page that happens to hold your content.
Right. So. Well, and there's a big difference. I mean, Amnon was making the point that Amnon has a Sunday morning tech show for old people. And I can tell it's old people because he's got all gray-haired people on the show except for this one young kid. Computers2know.com, if you haven't ever been there, it's a great show. But Amnon's show has, you know, he migrated from radio to live video over the internet and has an audience that numbers in the thousands every Sunday morning. If he were to try to convert that show to pay-per-view, he would lose a significant portion of his audience. But that's not what pay-per-view is about. Pay-per-view is taking an opportunity that people would have paid to see live, a concert, a series, a lecture series, a convention, you know, things that have value to them that they would have taken time and money to invest in and be present live. They have the option not to be present live and to get maybe not the whole effect, but a significant portion of the effect for a lesser amount of dollars. And that's the balance. It's not, you know, do I take a high school football game and do I start charging for it? You know, I think there was a company called iHi that tried to switch their model from a free stream to a paid stream, and it went down the tubes. But rather, we're talking about not so much entertainment, although concerts would fit into that if you were highly motivated to go to a concert. It's really those professional level things where people would have spent hundreds or thousands of dollars to attend, now have the option to attend virtually. And that's where pay-per-view, that's the sweet spot for pay-per-view, where people were willing to spend money already, but now they've got an option.
Well, the thing, I mean, to what you just used as an example there, Tom, where they have a lot of people who come on and watch the show live, mm-hmm. I would leave that model exactly the way it is. And I think just to kind of piggyback on what you were suggesting there is, people can watch the programming live. If they want to watch the archives of the programming, maybe where he can introduce, even if it's a $5 thing or something, that you can have access to all the archives. You can have it to where it's access to all the archives after maybe 7 days and they become protected. So you give people an incentive.
His show is not that good.
Okay.
I'm teasing.
Playing money button on there where you just
That's right.
Give them a dollar for watching.
That's right. No, I think Amnon was one of my very first guests. Everybody else turned me down, and Amnon had mercy on me back in July of 2012 and came on the show. Those shows are still out there on the archives, and you don't have to pay to see them. They were horrible.
And I can't reiterate enough. I mean, you know, these were lessons learned for me. So, you know, everybody's situation is going to be a little different, and their relationships, you know, say like with sports, it's going to be very different than mine right. When I'm dealing with professional people in a professional setting.
Sure.
And, you know, I can just tell you that there is nothing worse than having stood there at my switch with my switch operator, realizing that there was a problem with the streaming provider, and to just be dead in the water. And people are in the chat room saying, hey, the site's down, the feed's down. You know, I signed up for this. Where's the feed? Or I couldn't watch the feed. Am I going to get a refund? And now you got to explain all that. Whereas we had that happen again, like 2 years later, and I already had a backup process in place. And then, boom, I was down for like 15 minutes and already back up. Their membership access was the same, the amount they paid was the same, and they were able to continue watching the program. Even in the chat room, we were able to say, hey, you know, we're having a technical problem, we'll have it fixed in a moment, and we'll be right back up. All we did was kill that particular piece of the page, activate the other one, restart our stream, check to make sure the feed was coming in, type in the chat room again, please refresh your browser. They did. They're like, oh, it's perfect. Now I can see it.
Well, and Amnon just posted in chat that, you know, in the days where there were a lot of free CDNs, and that he may still be doing it, he would stream to all of them simultaneously, and people could pick which channel they wanted to watch that just happened to be the best color or the best feed for them. So you could literally simultaneously stream two or three streams and let people pick which one. And so you wouldn't even be down for 5 seconds, all the time it would take for people to push a second button.
I did something like that once. I don't do it all the time, but I may go back and play with it. Was I had the main window, and then I had a link at the bottom that just said, click here if you're having a problem with the main feed. Uh-huh. And it would actually pop up a window, which would be an alternate feed from a different service. They didn't know the difference, but it was just like, hey, if you can't see this feed, just click here.
Right.
And then it would bring up an alternate feed.
And you could do that with a primary feed and then an alternate feed tucked in behind it. And the alternate feed could be a standard definition feed, so you wouldn't eat up all your bandwidth. In fact, it could just be a re-encoded version of this same feed, but from a different provider somehow.
Through your switch, you're going to feed to two different CDNs, and then you're going to bring them back together on the page.
Right. Or you involve somebody like Switchboard Live with their Joycaster feature, where you stream one, and they send it out to four or five different CDNs simultaneously. I love this idea. I just love this idea. I wish I had an event I could go out and do this on today, because it would be so much fun to set it all up and then count all the money later.
Well, the counting the money is a lot easier when you know that you can, you have your redundancy in place, and
when you know you're going to keep it all. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that certainly helps. The $200 for the plug-in or number tool or whatever is nothing in the grand scheme of things to have that flexibility. And one other tip that someone could use, and I haven't played with this one yet, but I think someone mentioned it or was reading something or whatever it was, is when you're dealing with, say, content where you're going to record it and the person's going to come back and play it later, like after the fact, you can take and you have, because the way the membership tool allows you to set it up, you can set up so that if you go to page A and you're not logged in, you only see a certain part of the content. Just like on some of the newspaper sites, if you're not a subscriber, you only see the first couple of paragraphs.
I hate that, yes.
But here's where it's beautiful though. You'll love this. What you can do is, because you can segment that page based on their membership level or non-membership level, if they're not logged in, you can have embedded in there a scaled down piece of your video on demand. Let's say you've edited down to a minute or 2 minutes, and that's all they'll see. And when it gets to the end, it'll say, to see the remaining video, click here to register. If they're logged in, they would see the full video without any problem. So now you have two things going on. You allow them to get kind of the taste of it, of what it is you offer as a product. But after 2 minutes, 3 minutes, in my case, like our panel discussions are an hour. So I'll probably let them watch 2, 3, maybe even 4 minutes. Because by the time you get to 4 minutes, they're comfortable. They're like, oh, this is really good.
I like this. I need to know this.
Yeah. Yes. And then all of a sudden it's, oh, wait a minute, what happened? It's like, oh man, I'm out of register. But you don't want, you want to see it. At that point, you've kind of gotten the scent of it. Like, this is really good.
Right.
And so it incentivizes them to go ahead and register. But that's another option you have with the membership thing, is you can have those two different videos, tied to the same page. If they're not logged in, they see the preview of it. If they are logged in, they see the full version.
And you don't have to do that. I mean, this is just an add-on to take it one step further. And I bet, it'd be interesting. Are you going to do that this coming spring on this show, on your convention?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're definitely going to be implementing.
So you'll have some stats to see how many people you converted on the spot from a 3 to 5 minute viewer that said, okay, I want to buy this. I want it right now.
Yep, and there'll be a register now button for them to go there and pick an option. So, and then you can set it up to where if they started at the basic level, they can upgrade it and different things like that. And because they have access rights, people like to wait and they'll forget about it, put it off. You can set it up to send them emails like, you know, your membership will end, your access will end, you know, 7 days, uh-huh. 3 days, one uh-huh. day. And a lot of times I probably had, out of that 150 people, I probably had another about 15 or 20 people who paid to extend their thing. And then I probably had another 25 to 30 people who had gotten free access because they were an attendee, came back and got a paid subscription because they wanted to get the downloads. So they needed the full premium pack to get the download of files.
So you're talking 30%. That's a significant number.
Yeah.
10% renewed, and then another 20% came in and took advantage of, oh, yeah, I love that.
It's always about, you know, I always want to feel like I gave a great value. And so, you know, again, they got free access because they attended the conference. And then if they wanted to upgrade, the only thing they really are upgrading to is the ability to get the downloads for their own records.
Right, right.
And it just works out. They're happy. I'm happy. Everybody's happy. Happy.
I have a friend in the studio today. Let me get him up here. Some of you will remember.
Hey, there's John Jacobs.
It's NDI Rooney. Rooney came in and he was our NDI compatible Jack Russell Terrier a while back. He's come to visit in the studio. Rooney, say hi to all those people. There you go. All right, go play.
Good boy. Good boy.
Who knows who will walk into the studio from day to day. Well, we have exceeded our allowed time by 100%. But it's definitely been worth it.
Just think of it as your pre-Christmas edition.
Yeah, that's right. This is your gift.
Extended holiday cut.
This is your best idea for 2016 that you can use in 2017. And I'll be incorporating some of this. Actually, we've got a new offering coming in January or February called Live Streaming Rookies, and it'll be based on a membership concept. Thanks in part to what you've taught me in our brief time together. So yeah, that's going to be fun.
I'll be looking for my access code.
Yeah, that's right. That's
for testing purposes.
Of course. Just for testing purposes.
No. But really, you all will find that it's really not that difficult to set up at all. It's really not. And the larger ones, the larger companies out there that do it, they have lots of training videos, YouTube videos that people have put together for specific things. Once you get used to it, you'll be like, wow, I'm gonna do this. Like I said, sports teams are a little bit different. And I've debated about doing it, but here's what I would say on the sports team sometimes. If people are used to doing it for free or whatever, if nothing else, you can collect their information and put a donate button or something on there.
Right.
So that even though they can access the page for free, there's a donate button on there. They click donate. You can take their donation directly, you know, and they do like it. You know, I stream my son's football games just for practice. And parents love it. And they're like, oh, yeah, my grandparents, you know, the grandparents watched it from Florida or Germany or wherever they were in the world.
Yep.
At the end of the season, they gave me a little donation and signed football and all that kind of stuff like that. Just to, you know, for appreciation, I guess.
Man, that's the best. That's the best right there.
Yeah, and it gives me great practice every week. So I go out there and, you know, see how fast I can set up. I've gotten it down to, like, from my car to streaming, like 10 minutes. You know, so it's different. If you can learn to track little 9-year-olds running up and down the field.
You can stream anything. Yeah.
It's not too hard to track panelists sitting in a chair.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, maybe after your convention has concluded and you've recovered from that, you can come on live stream and rookies and teach everybody how to do this. I'll talk to you about that. I'll talk to you about that.
I love teaching. I
teaching. Can tell.
It's all good.
I can tell.
Just trying to have fun with it. That's all.
Yep. I can tell that. Well, folks, you know, for those of you that Well, golly, the full audience is still here, so obviously we were doing something right. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're watching us on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook or Periscope or something like that, you know, definitely subscribe to the YouTube stream. It's Eastern Shore Broadcasting on YouTube. You can go to our website, EasternShoreBroadcasting.com, and get linked up with YouTube there. But the benefit is that YouTube will send you a notice when we're doing a live show, and they'll send you a notice when we've upgraded something. When we've uploaded a show, so that you can see it, because we really do have good stuff. I mean, you saw how good Gerald was today. I mean, it's like this all the time. Well, not all the time. Sometimes it's not this good. When I'm just by myself, it's definitely not. But definitely subscribe. Gerald, thank you so much for sitting in with us today and taking time out. And we wish you the best. And tell me the dates of the convention.
It's March 9th to the 12th.
March 9th through the 12th. Okay, well, I'll put you on my prayer list for peace and wisdom on that one.
Yeah, it's a process. But this is 5 years we're going into. So fortunately, we've worked out a lot of the kinks. But
it's a well-worn path. Yeah.
Tom, I do want to, tell you thank you for your support and helping me get the couple items that I purchased through you and the other chats that we've had on the phone and stuff like that, and inviting me onto the program, and even the people in the chat here, good questions and things like that. So it's all good.
And they behaved. I was amazed. It was good. Yeah.
I know. I was like, wow, these guys are pretty cool. Yeah. I have to come back.
Good. Well, we'll get you back. All right, folks. Well, we're gonna tell Gerald that he's allowed to hang out, and we'll bring down his audio for just a second. I really do appreciate y'all coming in today. It's been a lot of fun. I hope you've learned a lot. You can go back and watch this one on YouTube. And what's going to happen real quickly, we're streaming this on YouTube, so you'll get to watch all the pre-show if you go back and watch this recording. But we're also going to upload just the show portion. So if you just want to hear the show portion, it'll be a separate recording, and we'll note the two. And I'll get Gerald to send me his affiliate link, and we'll put that in the YouTube show notes. So on behalf of Gerald and myself, we thank you for watching Streaming Idiots today. If I can help you with anything with vMix or Magwell or PTZ Optics or X Keys, I'd be happy to. They're in our store. We also design and build custom streaming PCs for folks that have that need. And if you think you do, give me a call and we can chat about it. Otherwise, we will see you. And we'll see you next week. Yeah, we'll see you next week. Y'all take care. And I pushed the button, and the outro did not happen. So much for that. We'll see you next week.